family, it is Thursday one more time again. God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient, and we are yet alive to say happy Thursday. And I'm going to say, if it's Thursday, it's your girl, Dr. P, on the pod.
Dr. P on the pod, yeah.
I'm excited that you joined me today, and we have, you know, I'm excited about my guest today because we're going to talk about something that I know each and every one of you can relate to. I'm just excited. But you know, I'm always excited, right? You know, I try to live my life every day, even when my knees are hurting and my back is hurting and my side is hurting. And even if I have a headache, I try to live every day with some joy. Yes, sometimes I have to bring it up deep, bring up some joy, 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 joy. And I'm always excited about my joy, and I'm going to spread some to you. So if you're feeling a little sideways, feeling a little crazy, feeling a little, you know, discombobulated, honey, just hold on. Hold on and catch some of my joy, because joy takes care of everything. Everything. Joy is just another word for God. It just takes care of everything. Everything. You know, we are now moving into June. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? We are now into the half of the year. Half of 2023 is gone. And we are getting ready to move into the second half of the year. So if you've had, you know, you made your little, you made your notes on what you want to do this year. And if you have not gotten started, or if you have not gotten where you want to be, pull it out, pull out the little thing you wrote down, your notes and everything, pull it out, review it. And if you haven't gotten started, start, get going with it. If you've started and you're not sure, you're not where you want to be, hey, don't worry about that. The fact of the matter is you started, and all you have to do is just pick up, spread some joy over it, and just keep on marching forward. One foot in front of the other. That's what you got to do, because this is it. It's June. We're going to be September in a minute. We're going to be Thanksgiving in a minute. Oh, don't wait a minute. Before we get to Thanksgiving, we're going to be at my birthday in October in a minute. Oh, man, it's moving fast. It's moving fast. And I thank God for every single day. So here we are in June. And, you know, it's Juneteenth month. And we are always excited about Juneteenth month. I'm looking forward because I'm going to be in the Low Country. You know, I love being in the Low Country, Charleston, that Low Country, Beaufort area, the Sea Islands, the Gullah Geechee corridor area of the United States. Man, my heart just gets happy when I am in the Low Country. And when Juneteenth is a major, major time in the Low Country, and I'm looking forward to all of the festivities and all that goes with Juneteenth. In the month of June. Now, Juneteenth happens all over the country because you know the history of Juneteenth, that the folks, our ancestors down there in Texas, they didn't get the word. They didn't get the word that they were free until two years later, something like that. I'm not too sure whether it was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, or 10 years, but I know they were. People didn't tell them that they were free. And that's why we celebrate Juneteenth. And, you know, there's a whole lot of that still going on, that we live in bondage because we have not allowed ourselves to be free. And sometimes you have to speak to yourself. You have to find your own freedom in your own life. You have to free yourself, free your mind. Yourself. Sometimes people will tell you that you are still in bondage when in fact you are indeed free. Big shout out to our graduates. You know, some folks have already graduated from the kindergarten to the elementary school to the high school to the college. I mean, just a big congratulations to all of our graduates, and a big congratulations to the parents of the graduates. Hello, somebody, because without the parents, children would not be crossing the stage. So I just always want to give a big shout out to the parents who got their children through. You deserve all of the accolades and all of the congratulations, as well as your children. So a big, big congratulations. June is a very important month here at the Balm in Gilead. We are busy. I mean, we are busy, you know. Memory Sunday, the second Sunday in June, June 11th, we're going to do Memory Sunday. And we thank God for all the churches who are lifting up Alzheimer's in their congregations that week. And at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. on June 11th, we're going to send you a link, Memory Sunday Down by the Riverside Concert. You all just blessed us. We were so excited and happy about the response that we got last year. So we're going to bring it to you again. We've kind of upgraded it and put some new stuff in it. And I'm excited. So put on your calendars. You got to be in front of your computer or your television or your YouTube or somewhere at 6 p.m. on Sunday, June the 11th. It's Memory Sunday. And you want to be a part of the Down by the Riverside concert. And then we are getting ready to go on our road tour. You know, we've been talking about this 5-city road tour, forwarding the Black agenda. We've been talking about it for months. Well, it is here. And we are launching in Charlotte, North Carolina, on June the 22nd. You need to go and register right now. We have individual rates at $25, and you can get a group rate. A whole lot of folks can come for the group rate. So go to the website, you know it, balmingilead.org, and register for Charlotte, June 24th. And you can also register for Atlanta, Georgia on July 28th. Atlanta, July 28th. Birmingham, July 22nd. Charleston, South Carolina, August 19th. Richmond, Virginia on September the 30th. So you can do all of your registrations. I've heard how many of you are excited. Some of you are coming to one or two or three or four or all of our road tours. You just want to do it. You want to do a trip. You want to vacate with us. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you. I will be at all of these events. I'm excited to see you, excited to give you a big old hug. Yes, indeed. Because we are on our way, this roadmap tour, we are on our way to healthy churches in November. And don't forget, June 27th is Talk That Talk webinar. We'll be talking about prostate cancer, Black men's health. So don't forget that we cannot talk enough about prostate cancer and Black men's health. Sisters, you know, we got to just help the brothers out. And brothers, you got to help yourself. So we are excited. Please, please, please stay tuned for the Balm in Gilead. Go to our website so you can get all of these links and be informed about all of the stuff that we are doing. Because guess what? We are doing it just for you. It don't cost you nothing. Don't cost you nothing. Yep, don't cost you anything. We are just so blessed and highly favored that we get the opportunity to serve you. That's what we are all about at the Balm in Gilead. It is all about serving you. So with that, I want to talk about some more stuff, and I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold my peace because I got to bring on my guests, and we got to talk about a daily walk on the path of Alzheimer's. It's Thursday. Yes, it is. And if it's Thursday, it's your girl, Dr. P on the pod.
to be on the pod, yeah.
Family, my guest today is Khalid Baycoats. Yes, and she is the lead community outreach and recruitment project manager at Cleveland's Clinic for Brain Health and Cleveland Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. Yes. My sister, I am so glad to have you on this pod today.
Thank you, Dr. P. That was perfect. You got everything right.
Oh, my God. I got everything right. How about
and
that?
I'm so honored. It's a blessing to be here with you on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
Well, you know, thank you for all the work that you do in this Alzheimer's space. You know, and I, as I mentioned at the top of the show, that I don't know if one family, African-American family, that has not been touched by Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And I know that you, not only is this your 9-to-5 work, you have also been touched in your family with Alzheimer's. And, you know, I just wanted to just take a few minutes, because we always run out of time on this program. Mm-hmm. You know, a daily walk on the path of Alzheimer's. And I wasn't sure where you wanted to start on this path. So I'm just going to let you have your way, if you will. And, you know, just tell us about your walk on the path of Alzheimer's.
Thank you for allowing me to talk about this. It can be a touchy subject, but one that is just a reality. We know that in, you know, the African-American population, there's certain risk that we all have developed that makes this Alzheimer's and dementia just very prevalent in our race. And
let's talk about some of those risks. What are some of those risks?
Yeah, so some of the risk in which, and I'll go back to my story because I was able to see the risk in my family early on with my, starting with my great-grandfather and then my grandfather, who both had Lewy body dementia, and then my mother, who had the vascular. Lots of hallucinating and just seeing things, hearing things, all in which they all actually was diagnosed with the illness at a very young age. My mother started to show symptoms at the age of 50, and she was having the multiple strokes. So she was the one who had the vascular. And so, you know, risk, all have migrated from the South to the North. So I'm a firm believer that that great migration definitely has something to do with it. A doctor could diagnose that much better than I can. But I know that my mother suffered from severe depression coming from the red dirt to this brown dirt. And she didn't want to be here and land it here. And then had to just live life. But
hold up, mm-hmm. because you're talking across the country. So yes. When you're talking about your mother got depressed from coming from the brown dirt to the red dirt, girl, mm-hmm. what are you talking about?
Yeah. So my mom was a Southern girl.
Southern girl from where?
From Alabama, from Mobile, Alabama.
From Mobile, okay.
And she definitely loved the red dirt there, and just the atmosphere and having animals and lots of land. And so she migrated, my whole family migrated from Mississippi and Alabama to Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
And so in Cleveland, in the inner city, where there's not a lot of land. And so, you know, it was hard for her to come here. And even by the time I was born, I had known she had suffered from depression, you know, from it, but to see her still suffering from that through the many years that we were here on this earth together, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, your stress level has a lot to do with these risk factors. Your way of eating has a lot to do with the risk factors, and even what she ate and what they ate in the South, and what we even eat now, it doesn't matter. Like you said, this is nationwide, so it doesn't matter where you are. But, you know, our eating habits contributes a lot to these risk factors, as well as not getting enough sleep, you know, staying up at night, having anxiety, all of that has a lot to do with your brain and mental stimulation. And the list goes on and on. We carry, you know, diabetes, and there's hypertension, all of that. We want to make sure that we're keeping our blood pressure down, and, you know, things that can cause strokes, multiple strokes can lead then to dementia and Alzheimer's. So there's several risk factors that what I have been brought on board to do at the Cleveland Clinic, LaRue Center for Brain Health, as well as the Cleveland Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. And I say I've been also just called by the Lord because of what I've experienced watching my mother, and then watching her take care of my grandparents, and not having the resources, not even knowing what was out there for her to be able to take care of them as a caregiver, and not even being able to identify the signs. And so I have been brought on board to target the underrepresented community in Cleveland, Ohio, and so in greater Cleveland, to go out and bring awareness and provide resources, as well as to network with the Cleveland Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, which is a collaboration between our five top institutions here in Cleveland, Ohio, which is Case Western Reserve University, Cleveland Clinic, University Hospitals, Metro Health, and then the Lewis Stokes VA. And, you know, there was a time where we were all competing with one another. And, you know, now is the time that we have come to realize that this illness, I mean, it's deathly and there is no cure. And we are all aiming and targeting towards educating the same population. And why not come together to join forces and form an outreach, a community outreach team to do, you know, diverse community outreach, you know, not the same. You know, just doing a webinar or whatever. We're very unique in our strategy, and we use different tactics. And
what are some of those tactics that you use?
So it varies. And what is happening is, as I am out in the community and I am hearing the needs of the community, the barriers of no transportation, of you know, to even get to the five institutions, we are going out and we are going in to the senior apartment living home, the senior living homes. We are going out in the at the community centers where the seniors are there and very active. We are targeting the faith-based organizations and networking with our pastors, with Memory Sunday, Purple Sunday. We partnered with the Alzheimer's Association for Purple Sunday. And just realizing that we are all aiming towards finding a cure. And what better place than to speak the word about brain health than the pulpit. And so, you know, last month for Purple Sunday, one of the pastors at one of the churches did a PowerPoint presentation, which was really, really good. He represents the Alzheimer's Association, and he was able to truly give some statistics and just, you know, make it real for the audience. And then called me up to the pulpit, which I was not prepared to do, but I was very blessed and honored to be able to do that. And then to just talk about the resources that we're offering, the programs that we're offering, the opportunity for the community to get involved in research. We're really, really, really aiming towards having underrepresented individuals. We count. We matter. We have a voice, and we want to be a part of the cure. So if we're not getting involved in that research process, or, you know, volunteering our time and spirits to do that, then we'll never we'll never know what risk factors we as African Americans have that may contribute towards this, or what medicines may interfere with other medicines that we're taking. And so as I'm out and identifying barriers, you know, one of the major barriers is, you know, the consent form and that consent process and all of the different myths of being involved in research, the hot topic of the syphilis incident, and just other incidents, Henrietta Lacks, other incidents where people are involved in research, but it's, you know, beyond their consent. So just educating the community on now there's a full-blown consent process. You have to go through the Institutional Review Board. There's, you know, the National Institution of Health. There's a process there. And these are just the things that we don't know. These are the things that my mother didn't know, my parents didn't know. So my grandparents, and therefore, so I feel like I've just been called to, you know, learn as much as I can and educate in my community to the best of my ability.
Bless you. Bless you. As you do your work in Cleveland, what do you feel are some of the factors that is so so important to the African American community, and what we, you know, what we need to know more than, you know, I would say, what are those three things when you look across the African American spectrum that we really need to lift up when it comes to Alzheimer's?
I mean, I think that the main thing is teaching and talking to one another about the importance of staying healthy. You talked about June, and June is also an important month. It's Men's Health Month. It's National Men's Health Month. And like you stated earlier, our Black men, most of them are hesitant on going to the doctor. And, you know, we have our sisters out here that we have to help our men. We have to help our fathers, our mates, our brothers. And so one of the things that we try to do is build on those things. So with this month, we have a ton of educational program. Actually, tomorrow at our Langston Hughes Community Center, we have the Men's Health Challenge. And something unique that we're doing, instead of just setting up a resource table with, you know, a plethora of our resources, we're doing memory screenings. So we are offering free memory screenings, you know, for the men in the community, so that they're able to identify whether or not they may be experiencing some cognitive issues. So we're just really trying to get everyone in and to feel comfortable going to see your doctor. And then from there, you know, other things may take place as a diagnosis that maybe you are cognitively normal, maybe you're not. And either way, once again, it goes back to that research. You meet the criteria either way, because we're looking for people that are cognitively normal and non-cognitively normal, and we want to follow them over time. But it's more than just research, you know, then providing resources, providing their caregivers with resources. The caregivers are stressed out. I've seen it. I've lived through it with my mother. I thought I had no one to talk to, not even knowing that all of the resources are out here. And I even appreciate Reverend Goodman with providing us with the Baum and Gilead resources to be able to share this month for our Memory Sunday program. So I would say, you know, being healthy, educating those on just being very healthy, educating our community on the resources that are out there, and taking care of our caregivers.
Let's talk a little bit about caregiving. You know, you have been a caregiver, and you mentioned your mother suffered from depression. And how can you talk a little bit about the depression and Alzheimer's together? My God.
Yeah. Ooh,
what was that caregiving like?
Yeah, that's an extremely, it's extremely difficult. And because you're dealing with the mental aspect on top of this, the long haul of Alzheimer's, in which neither one was her fault. And so it's, you know, to watch someone go through that. My mother was a nurse. She was an artist. She was into interior design, and I channel a lot of what she does. She was a community advocate on health and an activist. And so for her to just lose all of that and not even remember how to put her coffee cup to heat it up, warm it up in the microwave. So to wake up one day and to see, you know, your mother standing there and not knowing how to even press the button to open up the microwave. It was really, really difficult for me. And, you know, just being able, for me, I went out and just tried to really read as much as I could on how to stimulate her brain so that it can prolong it. So lots of puzzles, and because she liked working with her hands and she was into the art, and she would, you know, just doing murals on the wall with her. But it was really, really difficult. Many nights of me staying up and not sleeping, which wasn't healthy for myself. So this is why I'm a big advocate on talking to those that are caregivers and providing them with support and support groups. They're out there talking to other people that are going through it. But a very, very difficult thing to go through.
Yes, indeed. Where could we find some of those resources that you speak of? Is there a website that the family can write down and go and get some of those resources?
Yes, you can actually, if you were to go into the clevelandadrc.org, which is the Cleveland Alzheimer's Disease Research Center.org. If you go into that website, you will learn of various resources that we have to offer in the community. And then we also have various resource guides that we put together that is just a combination of all that's out there in this, in the Cleveland area, from the different institutions as well. So we try to provide resource packets when we're in that community and give people something tangible. When I was at one of the senior living homes presenting last week, it was a sharp bunch. Like, they loved sitting outside and reading, and they were like, we want to read, like, provide us with some materials. So even the National Institute of Health, they provide free pamphlets, all kinds of free booklets. I'm always ordering them on, you know, how to eat right, what's a good diet. It talks about the Mediterranean diet, which is very popular now, removing a lot of the carbs and things and starches. So it's out there, and these resources, I didn't know that they were out there at the time, but my purpose and my demand has been to share this knowledge and these resources with our underrepresented community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With family, that's clevelandarc.org. Cleveland
ADRC. Yes.
ADRC. ADRC. Cleveland ADRC at ORG. Well, thank you, my sister. It is so nice. We're out of time. We always get out of time. But thank you so much for bringing all that you are and all that you do to our podcast today. It's been a joy speaking with you and hearing your story. We bless your mom, as we know that she is so proud of the work that you are carrying on. And thank God for the Cleveland Clinic. The Cleveland Clinic has been a shining light for many decades. And we thank God for all of the teams and nurses and doctors and everybody that make the Cleveland team work. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you. You can come back on the pod anytime. And I'll try not to mess up the name and everything again. We're going to get it together, Miss Colleen. We are. Family, we got to go. But remember, Memory Sunday, second Sunday in June, is coming up. And yes, you go to the Balm and Gilead's website and get the Book of Alzheimer's. We have a lot of resources there for our churches. Caregiving resources, information on Alzheimer's, please go to the website, balmingilead.org. Second Sunday in June, 11th, Memory Sunday. So family, we got to go. I got to go. You know, when I come to see you, I'm happy to see you, but then I got to go. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be right back here next Thursday, because if it's Thursday, it's your girl, Pranessa Seal, affectionately known as Dr. P. Peace out. See you next time.